Seems like many of them taking a tumble this week. We just pray, Lord, that you would protect them and, Lord, give them wisdom as to the direction you'd have them to go. Pray for those that have COVID and the virus. Lord, we just pray that, Lord, it will draw people to understanding that life is short and tomorrow is not guaranteed. Help us to focus upon thee. In Jesus' name, forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Be thou my vision. What a song that is. Be thou my vision. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 6. Psalm 6 in your Bible. And we'll go through part of the psalm today, this morning. It's again addressed to, by David, a psalm of David, to the chief musician. Now again, remember that he's providing another song or a song to be sung. That's why it's addressed to the chief musician. So when you're thinking of the Psalms, always think of the fact that they are written to be sung. And it is intended to be sung on neganoth, that's stringed instruments. Do you know that your piano, I've heard somebody say this, is like a stringed instrument because of the way that it's configured. Upon Sheminith, meaning the eighth, which could indicate a lower octave as contrasted with Alamoth, which I will, you know, 1 Chronicles 15:20, or it could refer to a specified string instrument with eight strings. So just a little bit of detail for you on the psalm. Verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak, O Lord. Heal me, for my bones are vexed. Vexed means troubled or afflicted. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul, O save me, for thy mercy's sake. Now you think about it, he's saying return. I always tell people, God hadn't gone anywhere. We are the ones that move away from God, and when we say return, we really should be saying we need to return to where you are, not you haven't left us. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee in Hebrews 13. He will never leave thee. He will never forsake me. So when David's saying return, it's all in his mind. He's thinking, God, what have you done? It's like Job. I'm sore vexed. It's all, everything's against me. It's terrible. And listen, life gets like that sometimes. You get to feeling overwhelmed, the things of the world that go on and how things happen. And you just look at it and go, wow, what is going on? I'll tell you this. My plumber over there, he was on a job and his right hand man was on the second floor, fell through, hit the ground, 7 ribs broken, broke his thumb and something else. And it's a serious, serious situation. And he's over there doing the job himself, and his wife comes over and helps him every now and then. And then I helped him once. He had messed something up, got kinked, and I said, let me get up there. I just got up on the ladder and helped him pull it through and fixed it. So then my electrician told me that, you know, right before they started my job, one of his guys fell and broke his kneecap. Same thing on a job. Fell through, hit the floor, broke his kneecap. And so that's delayed things some. So listen, you got to be careful. You know, then I told you this morning about the roofer that has no excuse. So without excuse, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, whip, you know, hit the whip a little bit. But you got to be careful how you go and approach people then. What if I went to the roofer and, you know, half of his office, I just blast him and half his office has COVID or something? You got to check out the details. So what I did was checked out the details because I talked to him over there before I wrote that text the other day, just making sure, look, I let you go a couple days. Now it's time to be on my job, get my job done because it's the right thing to do. You can't just look at me and go, well, I can wait 3 weeks and give you another 3 weeks. No, get my roof on. So I'm telling you that to always make sure you focus on where other people are in their life. And you don't know, what if the electrician got behind, the plumber got behind, I'm blasting them and come to find out both of them lost prime workers. So again, I sort of caution you that. But David's looking, he's saying, return, verse 5, for in death there's no remembrance of thee, in the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. You can just see how distressed David is. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Now his attitude's changing. For the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. You see how things changed for David there? You start out in a problem. What's the problem make you do? Pray. When you pray, God gives you a peace that passeth understanding. Guess what? You can have that without the problem. Why do we have to go through problems in life? Because if you don't go through problems, many times you won't look to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. I need you in a very special way. I sincerely need you. And you cry out to God. Listen, cry out to God when everything's going right. Keep that relationship pure. Keep that relationship going and don't allow yourself to have to get into some serious issues before you turn to God and ask Him to be a special part of your life. Back to verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. The request of God is for safe motives. He's pleading for mercy from God. We all need a merciful God. We have a gracious God. You know that. You're saved by grace. But listen, you and I need daily mercy. We don't. You know why you need mercy? So you don't get what you deserve. All of us deserve nothing more than really hell. You say, wow, how can you say that? You know, there's some people that, you know, they don't understand what that statement means. Christ died for our sins. How was that for Christ? Well, the best way to remember it is by thinking about the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, when he knew, I mean, he knew, he always knew, but the cross was coming into view. Better way to say it. The Bible says that he had drops of blood that he shed. He told the disciples, he says, watch and pray. He came back, they were asleep. You can, when you read the story there, you can read angst, his emotion into the thing. He says, what? Could you not watch for 1 hour? And then he went back and he prayed again. And he came back again and they were asleep again. And, you know, the same thing. The third time he comes back, he says, let's go. They're coming that are going to betray me. You could see Jesus' demeanor change. But while he was there, he said, if it be possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Because he knew that he was going to be separated from the Father. He knew that he was going to take our sin upon him. He knew he was going to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. That's what he saw. And he's the Son of God. Can you imagine a father-son relationship where it's severed and where you sacrifice that which is most important to you? Your only begotten Son. Can you imagine what that would be like? No, you can't. I can't. We shouldn't even try to pretend like we do. But Jesus did that for us. What do we deserve? Nothing. You can't pay for your sin. I can't pay for my sin. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, had to go to that cross and he had to allow man to spit on him and pluck out his beard and put him on that cross. And then he said, it is finished. We have the means and the mode of salvation because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's always been by the blood. He says, rebuke me not in thine anger. You know, God gets angry. We looked at it the other day in Psalm 7:11. It says, God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every single day. So why is David saying, don't rebuke me in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure? Because listen, if God gets angry with you, watch out. If God gets displeased with you, Watch out and listen. He does get displeased, fortunately for Christians. He says this, he says, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. David was a child of God. David was a believer. David had trusted in the revelation given to him. I believe he had eternal security while he was walking on this earth. I think he says, take not thine Holy Spirit from me like you took it from Saul. I don't think he was praying, don't take your spirit and make me go to hell. Because we know today, if you lost the spirit, well, you can't lose the spirit today, period. But you get it when you're saved and he seals you to the day of redemption. Things are different. Things that are different are not the same. So we can't look in the Old Testament and say, well, he prayed for God not to take the Holy Spirit from, so you must be able to lose the Holy Spirit. No. It's not the way it is. You've got to rightly divide the word of truth. You've got to consider where you are, and you've got to consider that it's progressive revelation through the Bible. They don't know everything we know. We have the whole 66 books. They didn't have the New Testament like we do. And things were different. He says, I'm going to send you a comforter. That's what Jesus said. Why did he have to say, I'm going to send him? Because he wasn't in him yet. Things are different. So now let's look at this chastening. The Hebrews 12, if you want to turn there, is the chapter that gives you the clearest understanding of chastening. Let me get there with you. Hebrews chapter 12 has chastening in it several times. We'll start in verse 3. So just verse 3, I want you to get there. Look, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, before I get into the chastening, if you get overwhelmed, consider him. If you get to where you think, man, life is just too hard, consider him. If you get to thinking you deserve more than you have, consider him. He endured such contradiction of sinners, the Bible says. Look at verse 4. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Christ did. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. He says, don't you dare despise the chastening of the Lord. What's your alternative to chastening? God snuffing you out? You better hope God chastens you when you do wrong. You know why? Because if you don't have chastisement, you are not a child of God. If you just get away with sin, you think, oh, it's no big deal. Now look, I know you can get hardened. I know you can grieve the Spirit. I know you can quench the Spirit. I know you can have a seared conscience. The Bible talks about all that. But during that, for a child of God, you're still going to have the chastening of God. He says, don't despise that chastening. You know, when your parents looked at you and said, you've done wrong, it's going to hurt me more, it's going to hurt you. I never understood that, but it was said. And then you look at it and you go, why? Do you hate me? Because you had corporal punishment? No, it's because they love you. Do you know why parameters are put around children? To protect them from the ravening wolves of life. That's why. I was just thinking, if your parents spank you, you ought to hug them. I mean, not right away, but give it a little time and realize that they do it because they love you. Look at verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he does what? For who the parents loveth, what do? They chasten their children. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, all children of God, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection of the Father's spirits and live? You know, we got parents, fathers that chastened us. And listen, here's the thing. You are building for your children a foundation that will affect them the rest of their lives. If you don't teach your children to be respectful to authority, they will think that authority is nothing. You know where the world is today? Authority is nothing. Police? You know, they're the cops, and I've called them that. When I'm talking to one, I try to make sure I'm respectful. I try to remember they're police officers, they're officers, law enforcement. Boy, don't call them law enforcement today. Why? Because that means that they are there to enforce the law. You know, everything's changing. Why do people have such disrespect for teachers at school? Because they're not being told that those teachers, if they're firm or they're guiding you in life, that it's because they love you and they care for you. We're raising a whole generation, a godless generation, because we've thrown God out of schools. I've been studying up on separation of church and state. What a mess in the early 1960s when they threw the Bible out and they stopped prayer as far as it being something that was done in all the schools. What a mess has happened since then. I do not ever remember being in school and worried about somebody bringing a gun to school. Never once did it ever cross my mind. Why? It didn't happen. Thou shalt not kill. Ten commandments on the wall in the school. Got to take it down. Separation of church and state. That is not what the Constitution says. Not what it means. Nor the First Amendment. It is the establishment of religion by the government that the First Amendment is designed to infringe upon. It's to infringe upon the government, not the will of the people. So if the will of the people in a city is to serve God, you know what the city council and the commissions, the county commissioners ought to do? They ought to be like their people that elected them, not like the government in Washington telling them what to do. That's the way it's supposed to be. What is happening is our moorings have come loose. And we've lost our ability to understand that this country and is going to go downhill fast because we've rejected God. God's going to reject us. We think we're over God and God's going to judge us. Didn't mean to get on all that. I think my study doth affect me. Because that's not the message today. That's the message coming up. In fact, I'm probably going to preach a message called Separation of Church and State. So I will repeat some of that, whatever I just said, because I probably won't remember. Look back, verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But He, God the Father, for our what? Profit. That we might be partakers of His holiness. You know what chastening's for? To make you more holy. I don't want God to chasten me because I don't want to do things that cause the chastisement. If I've done something that deserves chastening, I would rather Him chasten me to help me to become holy than for Him to just look at me and go, "You're hopeless. I'm finished with you. I'm going to put you on a shelf. You're not going to be used of me anymore. And I'm done with you." What a scary thought. Verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, what does it yield? It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. What an amazing God we serve. If He's not chasing you, you're not one of His. If you just live like the devil and nothing ever happens. By the way, just because something bad comes in your life doesn't mean you're out of the will of God and God's chastening you. You got to have both sides of the coin in view. God will allow things come in your life like He did Job in order to purify him. Job on the latter end was blessed double. Why? Because that's what God chose to do. Look at verse 2. Go back to Psalm 6. Look at the second verse. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. What about you? Are you one of those guys that comes around and says, well, you know, I'm God's gift to Christianity? There are people out there like that. There are religions, denominations, you might call them, that believe you never sin. Because they take things out of 1 John and go, well, I make mistakes, but I don't sin. Every sin I've ever done is a mistake. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. Like I said, that means trouble or afflicted. Hold your place here, but look at Psalm 38. By the way, I'm getting ready to tell you our theme for 2021. I got it this morning. I told Judy and I was like, man, that is so good. So good. Because I got it from God. I believe. Psalm 38, look at verse 3. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of what? My sin. So when you're looking at God and you're blaming God, and there's all kinds of people that blame God. Oh, it's your fault, God. You did it to me. God didn't do it to you. It's because of your sin that you go through the things you go through. If God allows, and you're not sinning, and God allows something in your life, it's still to make you better. Do you know how easy it is to accept when you're doing right and things go wrong? It's much easier to accept. The problem we have is when we're not doing right, things go wrong, and then we want to blame God. The people that are doing right and things come in their life, they don't blame God. Because they're right with God. That's the difference in your mindset. If you want to keep a level-headed brain for 2021, all of us lost our mind in 2020, we won't talk about that. You want to keep a level mindset in 2021, is to stay focused on God. And when things come in, you look at yourself. Don't look at God and go, it's you. No, you look at yourself. Look in the mirror and say, you know what my problem is? My problem's staring right back at me. If you and I will do that and not blame our wives, not blame our husbands, not blame our children, not blame our mom and dad, not blame the school or the system or the government or anything else. You look in the mirror and you say, that's my problem. You'll be helped. In the long run. Look at Psalm 51. This is what got me to our theme here in a minute. It's not going to be here. It'll be in Philippians. Philippians has been on my mind all year. Now, we're not very far in, but to have something on my mind all year is a pretty good deal these days. Psalm 51, verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. David is writing, he's saying, make me hear joy and gladness. Look at Philippians 4. This morning, I believe God gave me our theme for 2021. 2021 is called Think on These Things. Think on these things. I realize if you're thinking on the newscast, then you're not. You'll see here in a minute. Let's just think about that for a minute. Just think about the newscast and think about what I'm getting ready to read. Philippians 4:8. This is our verse. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now think about the newscast. Look at the end of the verse. Think on these things, right? So that's going to be our theme. Think on these things. And then he says, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true. Now, if you're watching the news, you can't be thinking on things that are true. It's all biased. It is all slanted. It is all to get an agenda across. And by the way, the agenda is to send this country into socialism. And they are going full speed ahead, faster than a speeding bullet, jumping over, you know, empires. The Empire State Building is what I was thinking. I was thinking Superman. But anyway, let's just leave that alone. That thought did not clear God. And it certainly got in my mind, didn't mean anything at all. Finally, brethren, what sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? Are just? What sort of things are? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are report? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. By the way, that's our memory work for every day this year. That verse right there. That verse can change your thinking, your life, my thinking, my life, like that. Stay focused on that. Think on these things. What things? Things that are pure, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue. These things. So we got COVID here. Is that lovely? Quit thinking about it. Now, I'm not saying take precautions. I'm not saying, you know, c'est la vie, whatever that means. I'm not saying, hey, what will be, will be. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you got to think on it to the point that you got to protect yourself. You got to protect your family. You got to be conscious of it. It's a real virus killing people, making people sick, and it's spreading through the country. Okay. Yes. Don't make it your sole focus of life. It's not lovely. I've already mentioned the news. It's not true. It's not honest. It's not pure. It's not lovely. And it's certainly not a good report. Except now, there's a lot of good reports coming out. Although I heard that the president said there's nothing we can do to slow down the trajectory of the virus. Now, wait a minute. I thought all the solutions, before you were in office, you had them. Now, I'm getting on this because it's... Listen, I see no news, and I hear that much, and I heard that this morning. I'm like, really? You had all the solutions before you got in office, and now you can't slow the trajectory, and 500,000 Americans are going to die? Stop! Oh, wait, it's that other guy's fault. I can't do anything, but he should have. You see... You're being fed that over and over. You want to know why this country is the way that it is? Because it's being fed a diet that would kill a pig. Yeah, it's terrible. Think on these things. I just gave you things you shouldn't think about. Except for the reality of it. Now let's move on. I want you to focus this year on things that are true. Did Jesus die on the cross? That's true. He shed his blood for your sins? That's true. Can you be saved? That's true. Can all your family be saved? That's true. Can you have joy today? You better believe you can. Listen, this world's not going to steal my joy. Don't you let it steal yours. You look at it and say, you know what? I do not care what is thrown my way. I do not care what the devil hurls toward me. I'm going to keep my joy. Think on those things. By the way, how you think is how you'll be. If you are negative, you will have negative things happen to you. Even when they're positive, you'll look at them and you'll figure out a way to make them negative. I know. It's not me, but I've been around people like that, and it's just amazing. How do you get by a day thinking that the sky is falling every single day? Stop thinking like that. Think on these things. Things that are true and honest and just and pure. And lovely. I want to think about some lovely things. And the way to do that is not to turn on what we called the boop years ago. Now it could just be the internet and YouTube. And you turn it on and you just get saturated by it. And then you walk away from it and you wonder why you're so mad. Well, you're mad because of what they're doing. You're mad because of what you want. You're mad because this country, the greatest country on earth, seems to be not the greatest anymore. Why? Well, look at abortion. There were abortion clinics being shut down. Now it's going to be funded the full 9 months. It's going to be federal statute by executive order. By the way, some of you are looking at the executive orders that were done in the last administration. I've got to tell you, that's as damaging as anything else. All those executive orders were usurping the authority of another branch of the government. Don't get that wrong and don't think, well, you've got to look at it. Well, you know, that was, you know, President Trump and I'm a Trumpy. Listen, I'm telling you, executive orders are straight out of the pits of hell because they are usurping the authority of the House of Representatives that makes the laws. Separation of powers. What we have right now in Washington, D.C. is a God who takes a pen and he takes laws and just changed them, but so did the last administration. Think on these things. See, David starts the psalm out in despair and ends it in triumph. We read that. Remember that? What changed about David? What changed? David's enemies were still there. The problems he faced were still there. Prayer changed David's relation to the things in his life. That's what prayer will do for you. Prayer will change your relationship to the things in your life and the things in the world, the things that are going on, and it will give you a different mindset. One that thinks on things that are true and honest and pure and lovely. I want everybody to memorize that scripture. When the young people, 18 or younger, memorize it, verbatim, without a mistake, I'll give you $5 each. 18 and under, $5 each. Listen, if you're 80, I should probably offer it to you too. Yeah. I just don't have that many $5 right now. I'm just telling you, listen, I want you to memorize that scripture. The incentive is, I'll incentivize it. If you're over 18, memorize it for the glory of God. Hey, I'm going to take that down this week. I don't know when I'll get anything else up there, but I want you to think. Listen, 2020 is what 2020 was. And it just handed the baton to 2021, unfortunately, at this point. But there's a lot of good things that happened in 2020.
That's true. Absolutely true.
We lived through a year together. Yes. Just think about those things. Don't dwell on the negativity. If you dwell on the negativity, you will lose your hope. You'll lose your joy. You'll lose your edge in life. I am not going to dwell on what's coming out of Washington. And by the way, my philosophy's always been to impact those whom I can impact. I'll be voted in as president of the Republican Club, Okaloosa County, in about a week. And then I will stand up and I will have opportunity to speak to a lot of people. And I'm a preacher. And I'm a Christian. And I got no qualms about it. I just got voted in as a member of the OCREC, which is the Okaloosa County Republican Executive Committee. Why? Because we need to find ways to reach other people. I'm going to do whatever I can do. What I'm telling you is get engaged. Find a way to get engaged. I'm burning the wick at both ends, but so what? I always have. I'm going to continue to do it. You want to step up to the plate and you want to do more, let me know. I will pass the baton to anybody that wants to help in any way. I want us to be a witness out there. Right now, we're limited on what we can do. I'm no longer the chairman of the ambassadors of the Chamber of Commerce because it was 2020. So that's now done. I will still go to the ribbon cuttings. I just won't be speaking at them. So God now has opened up another door. I just went in there. It was funny on the Republican Club. I just went in there and I said, well, they needed people and the vice president had passed, and so they were getting somebody else. I went and they said, well, I'm going to put my name vice president. If you want it, you can have it. I went, no, as long as you're going to step up, a good Christian lady. I said, you take care of it. Then the president was, they voted one in, and he decided he didn't want to do it. And I walked up, and there were three other people that were talking about wanting it. I said, well, look, if you got other people, I don't need it. I was just going to do it because nobody else was. And then it ended up being, he said, I want you, and I'm going to get those three to take their name out. And he's Catholic. So I got to, the thing, and so I'll tell you afterwards. So pray for me. I'm now working on that separation of church and state thing. And I'm hoping I won't get too passionate, but I'm studying it out more than I ever have before. I already know what it is. Thomas Jefferson, Danbury Baptist up in Connecticut, a letter that's been taken out of context to say that God doesn't need to be in the government at all. That's what they've used it to do. All right. I need your prayers. You need your prayer. You need my prayers, and each of you need each other to pray. You heard the prayer requests made this morning. There were many. We need to pray for one another. You need to make sure you're taking precautions in life. If you need the shot, get the shot. Is it going to change your DNA? If you need it, get the shot. Will people die from it? Sure they will. But probably not 500,000. Okay? I'm just telling you, just don't listen to people that don't know what they're talking about. Do your homework on it. Okay? I'm just telling you. They're not going to change your X and Y chromosomes, so you won't change your gender. Let's all stand together. It can't be done, that's why. Imagine me saying that. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. Just pray, Lord, that you would guide, lead, and direct during the invitation time. We need thy will done in our lives. Lord, pray that you would guide, lead, and direct in all things. In Jesus' name, with your head bowed and eyes closed, if God's spoken to you in some way, the altar is open. You're welcome to come up here.